Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
One James, in a hurry.
Two. Welcome to episode 111 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. We have prepared for this, so I'm James Brown. And as usual, I'm joined by Dr. Alex Connor, and Mrs. ADHD. Alex, hi.
Hold on, Alex's reply. We forgot to write the script. We genuinely did. We should tell people that it's unusual for me to be like, have mental health issues, the ones I've had in the last week, and shared with Sam and James. And so one of the three of us can pick up the slack, and this, I think it's the first time in a long time where it hasn't been possible.
I think all three of us were struggling.
It's like the thing about women's menstrual cycles starting to sink, and I think our mental health started to sink, and we all had a dip at the same time, didn't we? So Alex colon.
I'm having James ding colon. We all had a dip at the same time.
That is a good one. Sam just says Sam colon response in whatever those square brackets are.
Hi.
And then Alex.
Square parentheses. A reminder that we started the podcast because insert joke, but there was an overwhelming clamour for more personal reflections from Sam to make the rest of us feel better about ourselves. We have time to do it now, of course, as insert joke. This isn't great, is it? That's all I've got.
I mean, it's never great. No. But this is probably
that's
a new low.
You normally write it. That's why it's shit.
Shut up. The bits that I write are shit. Obviously,
you write it all. It's all shit.
Right. Anyway, this rotten onion, which I definitely didn't leave at the back of the cupboard until the fruit flies it attracted were big enough to aggressively taunt me of a podcast, is also a tragedy in three parts. We'll discuss how the week in podcast has been. I mean, spoiler alert, not good from our perspective as people with ADHD and as people in the community. And we'll answer some questions in part two before finishing off by talking a little bit more about this week's theme, which was finishing off. Good one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I missed it.
That was a good one. About this week's theme, which was the media or something. So as always, I'll ask how your week was and nobody will ask me. Sam, how was your week?
All mixed. Obviously really, really, really depressed, like suicidal. It all came snowballing. But I've realised actually that was a hormonal thing because I'm bleeding again after like a week of not bleeding. So yeah, hormones, lots of them. But then also I did my talk. I did it.
Well
I
done.
Actually did it. And James, what?
Hang on a minute. When I do a talk, it's a little talk. When Sam does a talk... It's what? It's a big talk? It's
yeah,
talk.
It's a fair point, James. It's about impact. Good point, well made.
It was terrifying. I was fucking terrified. I felt like every atom in my body was shaking and I felt like my voice was shaking as well throughout. Because afterwards, James said, see, I told you you'd be fine once you got on stage. And I said, I wasn't fine. I was shitting myself the entire way through the talk. There was a bit near the end where I knew the end was near that I relaxed a bit and that was it. But it was James, obviously James has been really low all week and then had a migraine. So I didn't think he was going to be able to join me, but he managed to get out of bed.
I had poo bags in my YouTube.
Because I'm a gardener.
What she was doing, found a bag in her pocket, looked at it, and just tossed it away. I'm so distracted. That was perfect.
They're my poo bags. I was picking up cat poo off the garden yesterday because I'm a gardener now.
Are you?
Yeah, well, only for one day. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it yesterday. I just couldn't stop. I've dug all bits up in the lawn. My weeds are really coming on. They're really high now. Some of them are flowering. It's just amazing. I was fucking loving it yesterday. But anyway, yes, so the talk. So I'm glad. And James could join me, which I'm really glad because I would have been fucked on the Q&A if you hadn't joined me. But yeah, he had a migraine and ended up coming along anyway, even though he was shit. But it was brilliant. And I met so many lovely people and it was wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sue and Fran, for inviting me. And the Left Bank's such an amazing venue.
Is that corporately?
Yes, it is in Leeds. It was amazing. Alex.
My God!
I know.
That's our celebrity couple name, Jalex.
It is. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we just got married? No offense.
Oh, don't, because I always get jealous of you and say to James, "Well, why don't you just fucking marry him then if you love him so much?"
It's true. It's because society's not ready for the love we share.
How was your week, Alex?
Oh, it's really good, thanks, Sam.
That's a lie.
As you well know, I've overcommitted to quite a few projects, all of which I really want to do and they're valuable to me. And I have about 10 projects that I really want to get done, but they're all with different groups of wonderful people. But each of those people doesn't really understand that there's 9 others and that their one is important for a reason that the others aren't. And it got to a point where I broke just ever so slightly. I didn't drink.
That's good.
Well, yeah, I was about, no, that's
pleased about, or do drugs apart from, you know, daily speed from my neurologist. I love the fact that I tell people I'm sober and clean and like I wouldn't pass any kind of drug test medically. But people want quite a lot of me at the moment and thing, but they don't. And I haven't handled it super well. And I get, when you're not well inside, you're not generous. That's how what I find. You self-care. As a coach, a selfish coach is a happy coach and a good coach, and I'm not a good person at the moment because of it. And so I start to try and control things I can control, everything, and it's just fucking ugly. And ADHD doesn't help, like emotional dysregulation, RSD through the roof. Everyone knows that I've got peaceful wildness pretty good in general for the adult ADHD community, but this week is an example of eternal vigilance because it has not been great. That's what happened.
That's really interesting, because when I'm low, I give even more of myself to try and make myself feel better, I think.
Not healthy.
It's really interesting,
healthy,
that.
Healthy generosity, Sam, not terribly unhealthy generosity. Mm. So by generous, I mean generous that is good for your mental health, not breaks you. So you give and give and give to a point where you get ill.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not okay. You know.
But my happiness is entirely based on other people being happy.
No, but this is why people have therapy. It's like a friend you can talk to.
Do you know, I was thinking during this last breakdown that I probably should go into therapy again because it's been a while.
Yeah, and people should actually try and get therapy before that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like,
yeah.
James, what about your shit? Oh, sorry.
You should only ever have a vaccine once you've got the illness. That's my view. Wait till you've got the smallpox before you take the vaccine. Otherwise, you're wasting your 30 quid.
James, go on.
Go on.
Go on then. How's your week?
You two were both in the room when I finally broke, actually, which was last Friday.
Well, Alex was in the room when I broke as well. In fact, you both were, because I was crying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was great, wasn't it? Friday, yeah. Hi, Jack.
It was amazing.
just take the emphasis off me and put it back on yourself. You know, during my
amazing,
continue to talk about how bad your week's been. But yeah, no, it's all good.
Oh.
Now, there's the whole panorama thing. There's so much I'm not allowed to say because of my involvement with it. It wasn't kind of through the charity, but
yeah,
it carries on. It is carrying on, and on that Friday, having dealt with it as best I could and having a Jack and Alex around, and we were actually having a kind of a, you know, a nice chat, and it was a lovely sunny day. And then I had three separate messages which were work related, all of which, in my opinion, were inappropriate, and all of which just hit me. It was like the straw that broke the Dracula's back. I just, from that point, I completely went. And then from Saturday, I was having to sedate myself to sleep because every second I was awake, Alex and I watched a little bit of Stuart Lee, didn't we, when you were over here?
Yeah.
And I saw your face actually, but he did the bit about during the pandemic when he was drinking, and he does this brilliant bit where he says, you know, we all drink in the evening because your brain's screaming, kill yourself, kill yourself. So, you know, we drink to quieten that down. That was my brain for 5 days.
I watched that with two other adults with ADHD. All three of us, I think, have problems with substance use. And the whole point of the bit from the comedian is that he's got this problem that isn't relatable. He's pretending to observational humor that isn't relatable. The three of us were all going, what the yes, exactly. Yeah, it was a perfect example of, you can't do that to this audience because we get you. We see you, Stuart.
We really did. And so my whole week was that, and it was... I took the week off, which I think was a wise decision, but that means I've now got to get back to a shitload of work, which I don't want to do and I don't want to deal with. And I'm thinking about everything in my life and my future because, like you, Al, overcommitting to stuff, exciting stuff I want to do, stuff that's going to help people is great. But then when you find you're not doing the stuff you want to do that is more rewarding to you because you're doing other stuff, I can't do that forever. I've just been completely fucked. But I have made the decision I'm going to restart coaching soon because I think that actually helps my mental health to be helping people on a regular basis.
Yeah, you get a lot from that.
Yeah, I do. And that's my fucking amazing week.
Sorry.
You know what? I need to get my priorities right. This is the point, isn't it? We don't prioritize properly, the three of us. Because we commit to too much, and the podcast and the charity are my priority. Mark Twain said there's two important times in your life. The first one's when you're born, and the second one's when you find out why. And it's the only time I've ever helped people is with this ADHD charity, and I think that's why. We're recording still, aren't we? I'm quiet.
We are, yeah.
Of course we are. This is a podcast.
Yeah. The next question's in blue, in case you hadn't noticed, Al.
What stupid thing have you been doing instead of what you're supposed to be doing this week, you two? James, what have you been doing?
So the one thing I'm going to say, just because I think it was hilariously embarrassing, is when I was at Sam's talk, not a little talk, apparently.
No, it was massively impactful. Well done, Sam.
Yeah, and it was live streamed, and I hadn't noticed the camera. I was talking to somebody about their back, and they had back issues, and I was saying things that they could do, and then I said, one thing that you can do is you can get a ball, like a seat that's a ball, and then, and this isn't going to translate for the podcast, and then you can rotate around. So I stood in front of
action.
in front of a camera live streaming, kind of grinding my hips like this, and then instantly got a message from someone saying that's some good hip action there, and thought, oh fucking hell, I've just done that in front of a live YouTube audience.
Guys, I'm going to vomit. I didn't even know we had hips. I thought someone fused them in an operation.
pretty much. So that's my not paying attention to the fact that there's a fucking camera pointing at me. Sam, what about you?
God, I can't even fucking remember. Obviously, I'm a gardener now, and that meant that I couldn't do anything else yesterday apart from go to the garden centre and buy stuff for my
and
garden.
And break the hose and my pressure washer.
Yeah, I did that. Sorry about that. yeah, and fucked my back, actually. My back is killing me. I could barely walk when I got up this morning because I was doing too much gardening. I've lost my Fuck the Tories necklace, which I'm fucking gutted about. And I went to buy lunch at work and I took my purse, but there were no cards in it and I didn't take my phone. So I went to buy lunch and I didn't have anything to buy it with. So Anthony had to buy it. And then on the way home, I've written this down. Then on the way home, I thought, I'll go home and then I'll go supermarket shopping. And then I thought, why would I go home first? I'll just go supermarket shopping now. And obviously had nothing to pay for the shopping on. So anyway, that doesn't matter. Yeah, that's it, I think. I can't remember anything else that's happened at all. It's all been kind of fucking just depressed and not being able to work. And I'm not even overcommitting myself. I just can't seem to do. There's so much that needs doing every single day. And I just don't, I get through hardly any of it. And I don't know why. And
are we letting that go, James? I'm not overcommitting myself.
I'm not.
There's
so much to do.
I can't do it. What do you think overcommitting yourself means? What do those words mean?
Well, I feel like I'm just not effective and somebody else would be able to get all these things done, but I can't.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody, including like fucking oil rig workers, that put in a longer and harder shift than you do.
I know, but that's what I mean. I start at like 4 a.m. Yeah. I'm going till 8, 9 at night, and I still don't get it all done because I'm not effective.
That's exactly what it is. It's literally the only explanation for that is that you're not effective. There isn't a single other explanation. Actually, it's a good thing, this, because it's an ADHD thing, yes, but it's also very much a gender thing, culturally speaking, not biologically. Women think that men are doing as much as they say they are. They're not. And women think that they can't measure up because culturally we oppress women. That's what we do. Women as well. The culture does. No one's designed it that way. And well, so that's just how it is. But we see it all the time. And the productivity drops if you don't take breaks. And then it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you do 13 hours, you can't keep that up. So your productivity drops. So you start to self-blame. And that happens in ADHD adults. And even more so in women, because this is where self-care is generous to yourself again. Because if you take breaks that are meaningful, you'll actually be more productive, not less. Mm. But committing to anything that takes that amount of time is unhealthy. We should probably take this fucking outside, love, right?
Yeah, you're right. I just say yes to everything and I shouldn't. I can't help everything. It.
She actually in a talk, and we had agreement beforehand, but she talked about sex and did the whole, you know, when someone's rubbing my thigh and said I'm a clit, James, and looked at me in the front row of the audience, and there was more than a ripple of laughter, Al, to be honest.
I've been there many, many times when you've referred to Sam, who is there in front of 400 people, as your emotional support animal. Not sure you've got a leg to stand on, literally, because they fused your spine.
Anyway, what have you been doing that you weren't supposed to be doing? What?
that's the question we ask every week. That's you know, you don't answer the question. That's the question you're supposed to answer.
I just read it on the script and thought,
weird.
Yeah.
Wow, I've been sad. I'm supposed to be happy.
We've covered that, James.
Yeah, trying to control my partner.
I did my bit anyway.
I like that. That's a good joke. I would have liked it more if you'd gone, thanks for that, both. We're taking a break.
Yeah. I thought she was going to.
Interesting.
Thanks for that, both. We're going to take a break.
Other types of birds other than woodpeckers? That's the answer. I'm not going into any more. Screw you, guys.
Amazing. Now's the fucking time to say thanks for that, both.
Fucking, I was just making sure he was fucking done. All right, calm down. Thanks for that, both. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in part two with questions and thoughts from the ADHD Adult UK community.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to part two of our extra special, first ever one that's today, Thursday episode of the ADHD Adults Podcast, episode 111. Hello to all of our Discord people. We're getting loads and loads and loads and loads of questions, so shall we crack on with it? You can also reach us at the ADHD Adults on Instagram and Twitter while it still exists. First question. from Dead Hedgehog. Hi. Oh. I love this question. I'm wondering if neurotypical is a real thing. Not sure I know any people with this affliction. How much of the population does it affect, and how can I spot it in my friend and colleagues? Love the podcast. Cheers, Alicia. It's a really, really great that question.
Is a good one.
Lovely. Sam, got any neurotypical type friends?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I think I've weeded them all out, to be honest with you. But I can spot it. I think.
Well, everyone thought I was. I thought you were, Samford. In fact, because I met you at work last Friday, I thought you were back.
What?
Because you were in work mode. It was amazing. Oh, it was like a different person.
Yeah. I'm really great at masking. I'm a master masker. I really am. Yeah, but I think people, in fact, I talked about this in my talk, that when I started working, I would look at other people, because it wasn't until I went to work that I kind of encountered normal people, and I would think, what is wrong with them?
Yeah, they're like, so boring,
why are they so boring? How can they just sit still all day? And they seem to do the same thing every night, like for the rest of their lives. I just don't understand. So they do exist. They are out there. I don't expose myself to many of them.
Ding.
They're weird, aren't they? What about you guys?
I'd like Alex to take this because he explains it better. Oh, God, it's a
cold. Oh, what?
Oh. You're going to say there's no such thing as neurotypical?
Yeah, and it's really, really important. I know people, we're not the word police. You say what you want, you do what you want. We don't give a shit. But no one, this is objective science, no one is neurotypical for two reasons. One is because what the word means. If you have a mental health behavior, anything, let's say how good you are at sums, right? Some people are brilliant at it, some people are shit at it. If you're so far from good that it causes you problems, you could be called dyscalculic, and that is a neurodivergence. It is what it is. But you could say, because I'm quite good at mental sums, I'm neurotypical. I'm not, because nobody's exactly average. Neurotypical means, if you take the entire population, the average goodness, good they are at sums, it would be neurotypical for that mental health behavior. If you look at every single mental health behavior there is, everything from how good you catch a ball to how good you say good instead of well, how impulsive you are, how hyperactive you are, no one's average for all of them. There'd be like, no one is. Even if there was, it'd be like one or two people that were on this magic neurotypical scale. So to refer to those people as neurotypical, somebody might be 4 out of 9 and 4 out of 9 for both diagnostic scales of ADHD and wouldn't be ADHD, but they've got 8 of them. Whereas someone that's only got 5 of 1 of them would be, and they'd be going, oh, you're neurotypical. It's absolute bullshit. It's pejorative, it's negative, and it's othering. And if we other them, they can other us back. In the same way that, you know, saying that black people have got rhythm or gay people have got good fashion sense, none of these things are true, first of all. And as soon as you say that a group, you know what a group is positively, you're in very dodgy ground, because you can say you know what they are negatively as well. And it's just not okay. And it isn't
true. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, I can't really add to it. Fuck me over there, hasn't he?
Yeah, we'll
move
fair
on to question two. We'll move on to question two then, which is from Joho. Who says, I don't know if it's an ADHD thing, but I'm so sensitive to things. Like today, I read about a serial killer and I've been on the attack ever since. I know it's because that story bothered me so much and I'm feeling irritated and taking it out on people. But then weirdly, once I'd read something like that, I have to research the fuck out of it, making myself feel 100 times worse. I feel like it might be an ADHD thing. Does anyone else experience this? And then they go and
no,
say,
no, what are you on about?
Talk, so I'm not going to say that. So, Alex.
No, none of us have. That's madness. It's just insanity. I mean, sorry, what I mean by that is, yes, of course it is ADHD. Of course it is. I think even the neurotypicals do that. But yes, we do that and we do it more. And
sorry, you just said neurotypical.
I know. That's called a callback joke, Sam, to when I just said there wasn't any
was
such
funny.
Thing.
I liked
Thank
it.
You. Dopamine chasing isn't always chasing positive reward. Even if you fucking hate Candy Crush, but you can't stop yourself doing it, picking your nose, picking your skin. We don't want to do it. But it gives us this sense of completion and reward. And because did I
did you say that
things.
Because I was picking my skin.
I wasn't looking, I was looking at my notes. It was honestly unrelated.
You've got notes.
Because picking my nose is something I've always been ashamed of. Like James says, I always thought it was a weakness, just a shit person, you know. But actually, it's a compulsion.
But coincidentally, you're also a shit person.
Yeah, the two are unrelated, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are unrelated.
It's that my personality is shit. Joke's on you. So, Joho, yeah, making yourself feel worse. What I can say is just a bit of forgiveness. That you're doing it because you lack dopamine activity at the same level as the average population, an example of whom does not exist. So, of course, it is, and we're just as sensitive. And sensitivity issues in ADHD are really interesting. We don't know why. It may be because you're more autistic if you've got ADHD on average. Because those two things go hand in hand a little bit. So, but it might actually be biologically part of being ADHD because we all seem to have it a bit up in the air at the moment. What about you, James? Something you know a lot about as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's when you read something which is irritating or upsetting, I think it's very difficult to let it go. And I think that letting it go can feed into a hyper-focus / rabbit hole of reading more about it, finding out more about it. I'm not going to say what the subject is, but I know from chatting to Jack at the minute that he's spent far too much time, he said in his words, you know, on social media arguing with people about an event that's happened recently. And that's the thing, is that if you feel incensed or angry, we can lean into it. And obviously it's not just people with ADHD, but because of that justice sensitivity, as Sam said, and because of that reward, we can absolutely make ourselves worse by reading more about something that made us feel bad.
And do.
Sam?
Yeah, that's it. You can't stop fucking fixating on it once it's got into your brain, even if you know that it's bad for you and it's going to make you worse. It's almost like I think of my brain as a separate entity a lot of the time. And what I actually want to do, I can't do sometimes because my brain's like, no, I want to do this. I'm like, I really don't want to. It's going to upset me more.
Yeah, why are you making me? That is what ADHD is, isn't it?
Stop this now. I want to stop it.
Yeah.
But it's totally a thing. We just can't fucking help it, can we?
Shall we do an episode on what you can do about it? Because there are ways. They're not easy, but there are ways.
Shall we look at the list and see what people have asked for? And if so, then yes. Right, okay. Question three. By the way, you didn't end. She said, side note,
I know.
I've completed the podcast. I went to one of James's little talks, and then I binge listened to 101 episodes over the space of about 3 weeks. You've all made me cry a stupid amount of time.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Exactly.
You were trimming your fucking nails at the time.
I'm not trimming my nails. I'm digging up my skin with some scissors.
And I actually said, I'm not going to read the last bit because it talks about going to one of my talks, and I hadn't seen the bit below that. So go fuck a goat.
Okay, question three from ADHD Grandad. You've mentioned hormones having an effect on ADHD. As testosterone in men decreases slowly from the age of 30, the andropause, will this have an impact as we age? Also, I have to take daily testosterone gel, but ADHD means I can sometimes forget and go a week without it. Yes. Will this have a bigger impact on me? My ADHD wife thinks so. But I just wonder what your thoughts are. I forget to put my testosterone gel on all the time, anti-estrogen gel.
James on that one.
Because you're the hormone guy, aren't you?
I am. I spent a long time being the hormone guy, amongst other things, because I couldn't settle on one scientific subject.
For some reason.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually, because if you look at most of the research in ADHD, it's obviously done in males, normally white males, but there is far more evidence for the impact of female sex hormones on ADHD symptoms than there is male sex hormones. And we've talked about this a lot for the menopause and for the menstrual cycle, that it can affect ADHD symptoms. Men don't have the same sharp cutoff in hormones. So the menopause is this like sudden little wobble and then sudden drop. The andropause, as ADHD granddad said, it's a gradual decline, even from the age of 18, but definitely from the age of 30. And in some cases, it means that men do need testosterone replacement therapy. The evidence that I've seen is actually mixed, and that is there are some, and again, it's not big studies, it's really small kind of case studies and small little epidemiological studies, but there's some evidence that having reduced testosterone can lead to increased symptoms and that testosterone replacement therapy can help mitigate that. But there's evidence of the opposite as well, that increased levels of testosterone can lead to increased ADHD symptoms. So the jury's out on that. I think it certainly, by the sounds of it, can regulate symptoms, but the whys and the whats and the whereby's, Alex, I don't know.
I would add as well that it's a bit of a myth that we lose testosterone as we age. That's not actually borne out by the evidence, probably maybe 1% on average. Maybe it's not like estrogen. It's not the case. High testosterone, low testosterone isn't as clear cut as people think. And testosterone doesn't do what a lot of people think it does. It's more of imbalance with other things in both men and women, biologically speaking. Testosterone does regulate mood. So if you have a testosterone imbalance, not because of aging, that's not connected easily in men, but for whatever reason, medically, how it affects your mood will be idiosyncratic to you and your balance of other hormones, which are almost infinitely variable. So it's just keeping an eye on these things. It's all holistic. There could be social, cultural, as well as biological reasons for changes in your mood, and attributing it to one thing. Like I always do, I always say it's the meds. When like I've had an argument with someone and I'm sad, I'm like, oh God, these meds are making me sad. They're not, they're nothing to do with it. So have a look at that really. If you're medically low testosterone, then it's very likely to affect your mood. That's what I would add.
Nobody going to ask me then yet? Well, I was just thinking it's weird actually that there's more research done in kind of estrogen and women than there is in testosterone and men, because that's fucking rare, isn't it? For anyway,
it doesn't really change.
Well, I know that if I forget to take my testosterone, it has a massive, it does have a massive impact on me. So I think that's probably more having more of an impact forgetting to take it than anything else, because I know any fluctuation in hormones, it does affect you, doesn't it? So I think probably forgetting to put your testosterone gel on, that's probably going to have a difference. I know it does for me, definitely.
James and I are having a very slightly passive aggressive disagreement about whether testosterone changes with age.
I
James is an
that.
Expert in aging, and I'm not.
I am,
and in hormones.
Hormones and
aging. No, that is my area as well.
Yeah. Right. I don't know who's meant to take us to a break, so I'll do it. So we'll take a break, and in part three, we'll finish off with some thoughts on this week's theme. See you in a bit.
Bye.
Trumpet.
Welcome back to episode 111 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we're talking about ADHD in the media. This is part three, where we will talk about our tips. This is part three. What made you choose the last idea for a theme, James?
Loads not having everything.
The shittiest introduction we've ever had from Sam Orr?
It's up there. It's up there. Come on, that's up there, isn't it?
There's
the time
good.
She forgot what the podcast was.
Yeah, that is a good. I've done that though, to be fair. In fact, we had the wrong signage for about 30 episodes, didn't we, as well. The BBC Panorama. That's why the outrage, all that shit. Alex.
Yeah. I was sad, so I left this one to Jane. Sam.
I always leave them all to James. I don't have anything to do with the script or the script writing or anything. I've forgotten what I normally say. I've completely forgotten. Anyway, it was nothing to do with me. Was there any thought or tip from the theme that you forgot to say, James? People are going to be disappointed if I don't say it.
I've been waiting for you to forget what it is you normally say, because it's never written down, but she always manages to.
I don't fucking remember it.
Beautiful. Tip up from the theme that you forgot to say. No, I should have saved the nothing about us without us, because it would have been brilliant for this. Wouldn't it? Yeah, I think it's make personal choices about sharing stuff. I think because we've talked about how the impact that this has on people, you can't just avoid it, I think, in terms of if somebody, you know, tags you in a post, or if you see people are in pain. I don't think, if you do have social power and are safe enough to talk about something, I think you should talk about it. And there's often, as we know this year, media pieces which are diminishing and bullshit and etc. So without sharing links to the story, I think it's okay to say to people, listen, if you get attacked because this has been put in the media, you know, that's not your fault. It's not your the blame doesn't lie with you, because somebody doesn't know what ADHD is or how it's diagnosed is written about it. So without necessarily having to read stuff, I think it's okay to talk about bad stuff, because we have to fight it. We're not going to change societal beliefs if we just allow the media, particularly as we know from Alex's adequately delivered psychoeducation, that the media influences our perception of mental health and neurodivergence. We can't just let it be, but it's about doing it in a way that you feel safe about. Alex.
Two dead quick things. One thing I think to myself all the time, these are opinions, so they're fully arguable. You can have do whatever you want. First one is BAMO, B-A-M-O, BAMO, really important to me, which is block and move on. The second somebody makes you feel unsafe, or you don't think they're acting in good faith, or then like obviously a Russian troll, block and move on. Block and never think about them again. You think, well, I'll be thinking about them. You won't, just block them. Block them, it's amazingly powerful.
I do that all the time with friends.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Honestly do, yeah. The minute they do something wrong, dead to me.
That is not what I'm saying. Massively.
No, I'm sorry.
Unrepresentative of my thing. The second thing is that if you have to respond to something bad, and you really need to, because you're paying people's wages, if you tag them, if you click reply, if you, all these clickbaits, but if you have to, because I get that, we get that completely, my preference is to screen grab and hashtag. That's what I do. So I take a screen grab of the thing, and I will put that on social media if I really need to, and I'll hashtag, and I won't copy them in, because you're talking about a thing, a negative thing, rather than talking to a negative thing. So if someone's, you know, something in the Daily Mail, and you really, really need to say, this is what I'm talking about, and you screen grab it, that doesn't link to anything. They don't know that that's about them. It doesn't add to their metrics. It doesn't give them clickbait money, as long as you don't. And if somebody does tag them in, or somebody you're talking about, call them a snitch. That's what I do. Bloody grass. Awful. So yeah, screen grab and hashtag, and if you need, absolutely need to, that would be my preference. Sam, have you got anything else you didn't say?
Yeah, you don't have to respond. No. And in fact, actually ignoring somebody can be the most powerful. Is that what you said, James?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, the queen of I have to respond to everything has just said you don't have to respond.
You don't have to respond.
Sat there till 10 o'clock at night, no, I've just got to reply to these messages, but you don't have to respond.
No, but anything negative, have to respond to. Sometimes you feel
saying,
like...
Write me a haiku now, and you're like, oh, well, I guess it's late, but I have to.
Well, anything for the charity, obviously, I fucking respond to. But I'm just saying, if you get into an argument with somebody or you see something, you don't have to respond, because I think sometimes you think, if I don't respond, I'm going to look weak and they'll feel like they're right.
Yeah,
actually, the most powerful thing you can do often is completely ignoring them. Because they want a response. They're typing that because they want to get a rise out of you. Actually, I know it might feel like if you don't respond, you're giving them the power, but you're absolutely fucking taking the power if you just ignore them and don't respond sometimes. So don't feel that you have to. I think that's...
BAMO if you have to. BAMO. So
yeah,
important.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Block and move on. Definitely. It's not making you look weak. It's protecting your mental health, and it's not giving them the fucking attention that they need and crave, because that's why they're doing it a lot of the time.
It feels to you sometimes like we forget we've got a village mentality in a 7 billion person world, and we're like, oh God, that one person is, you'll never, ever hear or speak to them again or need to.
I know. And I get it because I can fixate on them. And yeah. even after I've ignored or blocked it or responded or whatever, my brain won't let that go. A bit like that question that we had earlier. My brain won't let it go. Any negative comments, I take on board and I fixate on them. So I get it. And it's really difficult. And I think the worst thing actually is, and probably the thing that, but I think we dealt with this in the Panorama episode one. It's not so much the stuff online and the actual articles and programs itself. It's the knock-on effect in what then people say to you when you're face-to-face with them and the way that your friends and family react, isn't it? And the things that they come out with then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because it's the ammunition to diminish.
Yeah, and you don't have to engage. You don't have to. What are you laughing at, James?
Look at James's face. You've never not engaged. That's what it's...
About 3 minutes ago, I forgot we were making a podcast and I thought we were just having a chat. And I very nearly said something, not inappropriate, but it was just something that someone had pointed out to Sam, which I think is a really good idea. And I barely went, oh, God, yeah, Alex. So Sam didn't... I genuinely forgot we were making a podcast.
Tell us, what is it?
What is it?
Will it get you cancelled?
It's the Dracula, the balloon, and the cyclone emojis as a thing.
I did that.
I did those emojis.
Yeah. When I posted about us having a bad mental health thing, I posted three emojis and I posted a Dracula, a balloon, and a little whirlwind.
That's lovely.
I know. Yeah. It's our emojis. You
made yourself the best one, just saying.
Obviously.
That was episode 111 of the ADHD Adults podcast. It was the first ever Thursday Extra edition in like start of June, probably maybe even the second. I don't know. After our Monday's episode of ADHD in the Media, you like this nonsense? Get some help. And you want to get involved? Contact us on the socials on Discord at the ADHD Adults. We love reading everything and we do read everything. Sam responds to everything. I don't. Have a lovely rest of your week. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye. I feel like we got distracted at the end there.
Shocking. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Big klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon.